How will this be? That's where we're going to begin today. I want you to rewind back in your thinking from what Jeff has just brought. Oh, sorry. The innkeeper's assistant has just brought. And we want to rewind back. And we want to look this morning at Mary and the part that she played in the Christmas story. How will this be? Have you ever asked that question of God? How will this be? It's a question someone asks when God does something bigger than their understanding. It's a question we have often asked, I have asked, when I've been on the edge of something that's life-changing. How will this be? And I guess it's a question that people still ask today. We love Christmas, we love the Christmas carols, the exchange of gifts. But if we're really honest, we say, how will this be? How can God come so close? How can a baby change the world? And how can something I don't fully understand transform my life? How will this be? We're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, if you have your Bible with you and if you want to follow along. So it's Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for your word, Lord, that there's life in your word. Lord, there's truth in your word. And Lord, as we come now and we ponder this passage this morning, and indeed, Father, maybe some of us in the room are asking that question, how will this be? Lord, we pray that you will speak to us afresh. Lord, you would take my words and you will take away those that are not from you. But Lord, that your Holy Spirit will speak into each one of our hearts this morning. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A missionary shares a story about one Christmas when a young boy walked from his village to deliver a gift. It was empty, carved wooden box, polished and lovely, but empty. The missionary asked, "Why is it empty?" The boy smiled and said, "Oh, the walk was the gift." The gift wasn't in the box it contained, but it was the love that was behind it. Billy Graham once shared a story about a man who told him, "I like Christmas, Dr. Graham, but I don't understand it." Billy Graham asked him, Have you ever received a gift you didn't fully understand? Something you didn't know how it worked, but you still enjoyed it? The man, he nodded. Billy Graham replied, "That's Jesus. You may not understand him fully. I don't either, but you can still receive him truly." And as we look at this series of the indescribable gift, that's what the Apostle Paul was speaking about. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Because Jesus is a gift that can't be wrapped or fully understood, but he changes everything. I want you to imagine that in this moment, your phone dings and you get a message. And this message is a news flash that has come through. It's breaking news that is coming through. In a small, overlooked town called Nazareth, an angel from God has arrived with a message that will change everything. Luke wants us to know that he has investigated it all in the first few verses of this chapter 1. He's looked at it. There's certainty in what he's saying. This isn't merely a story for Christmas, for the carols we sing. This is life-changing news. And it comes from God's own messenger, the angel Gabriel, to Mary. Luke doesn't want us to confuse the sparkle, which is lovely, the lights. He wants us to grasp what the story Christmas means to us. Before the shepherds and the angels, before the wise men and the star, before Bethlehem, even before the innkeeper's assistant, comes Mary, an ordinary girl called by God. And this morning, I want to suggest to you, as we look at this passage, we will see that this indescribable gift comes through an unexpected person, is announced with an incredible promise, and arrives through amazing power. Luke tells us here that the angel Gabriel has come to Nazareth. Now, for us, that doesn't really mean a lot. A bit like me, if I was speaking to someone in Northern Ireland and I said to them, "Oh, I grew up in South Armagh," they'd be like, "Really?" If I say to you here, if I say to Emma, "I grew up in South Armagh," "Oh, very good." But Luke wants us to know that this angel has come to Nazareth. This is a place that was known for all the wrong reasons. It wasn't respected. It wasn't admired. It wasn't even an important place. You didn't tell others that you went to Nazareth. You didn't go on holiday to Nazareth. They didn't expect anything good to happen there. We know that later in John 1, whenever we know that Nathanael would ask the question, "Nazareth, can anything good come from here?" And yet it's here that the Christmas story begins. God sends an angel to this teenage girl, to Mary. She's not powerful. She's not wealthy. She's not famous. She's just ordinary. An angel says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary's confused. She's even troubled. There's nothing in her CV would qualify her for this. She hasn't done a master's that would qualify her to do this. But we see this pattern often in Scripture, how God comes to the ordinary person. We see it in Abraham. He was too old. Moses, he was uncertain and fearful. Gideon, he was hiding in fear. David, he was overlooked by his own family. God comes to unexpected people. And Christmas reminds us of this. He reaches out to you and I, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. We may feel ordinary We often feel overlooked. We often feel underqualified, insignificant. We're often aware of our own weaknesses. But Mary demonstrates to us that God doesn't wait for perfect people. He works through those who are available. As I was preparing this message, some of us in the church, we've been doing a Bible reading plan on YouVersion. Real shout out to those who are continuing with it. It is the most difficult Bible reading plan that I've ever done. So well done that we're nearly there. But one of the things that has really stood out for me, it hasn't been the actual content of the plan. It's been the stories that have been shared by different people who are doing it with me and others in the church. And one of the stories that really stood out, and I have this person's permission to share, was one of the questions in the devotional was, have you had an experience where God asked you to do something that seemed absurd? And one of the participants, which is one of our church family who I won't name, that she shared that one day she was at church and God told her to hug an elderly man that was in the church, an older man in the church. She writes, I don't usually hug people I've never met. And the older man was talking to himself, so I thought he was drunk. When I hugged him against my will at the end of the service, he cried and said, he couldn't remember the last time he had received a hug. We stood there for ages. I believe I was more blessed than he was. It turned out he had dementia and wasn't drunk at all. The following week was coffee morning, and we talked the whole time, with him sharing many fascinating stories about his life as a fisherman. Have you ever had that experience? A time where God is asking you to do something that feels beyond you because of your ordinariness? What ordinary part of your life might God want to use for something extraordinary? Where might he be calling you to trust him even if you feel unprepared? And who is the person in your life who might be overlooked in this season? Someone God may want you to encourage. Some questions to leave with you. The indescribable gift comes through an unexpected person. Mary was troubled, and we often feel unprepared when God asks something of us. But you know, when we make ourselves available, God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. This indescribable gift is announced. It comes with an incredible promise. Gabriel announces, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus. He doesn't stop there. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will never end. This child, the promised Messiah, the long-awaited King, the Savior of the world, the Son of God himself. Every prophecy, everything that was ever written and said, now points to this child. How would you describe that today? The one who created the stars is now coming as a child. We know that it says in John 1, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The everlasting God stepped into our world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The all-powerful, all-knowing God became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We hear so much, we see so much about Christmas. It's so commercialized now. But Jesus, he is the Christmas story. Dan has already spoken about Jesus being the hope of the world. We saw in the news this week what happened out in Australia, the terrible, what happened there. Jesus is the hope of the world. He's our Savior and he is our King and he will reign forever. This year, Robert and I, we bought a Christmas tree. We haven't had a proper Christmas tree for quite a while because we simply didn't have the space for it in our home. But having moved house last year, we now have space for a Christmas tree. Much delight to Jamie and Evelyn, our little grandchildren. So the tree was picked, the baubles chosen, the tree's put up. But in a week or so, I do put it back early into the box. In a week or so, the tree will go back in the box. And as we think about the Christmas story, it invites us not to simply admire the promises of God just at Christmas. It's for the whole year. It's for what we have to build our life on. Jesus is not limited to this one season. He's for the whole year. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Which promise of God do you need to cling to this morning? What is God reminding you of today? What promise do you need to cling to? And maybe where are you living more by fear than by faith? God's promises are not meant to be boxed away. They're for our lives, for every day. What promise is he bringing to you this morning? The indescribable gift is announced with this incredible promise. What promises do you need to remember from God's word today? What prophecy has been spoken over you in your life? Bring it back out. Bring it back out. Don't box it away. Bring it back out. And finally, we see the indescribable gift comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is where we began. How will this be? Mary asked that question. She's not doubting. There's just no human explanation for what the angel has said to her. And the angel replies, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." This is not human work. This is God's work. For nothing will be impossible with God. How will this be? When did you last think that? When did you last ask that question? Lord, how will this be when I have so little strength? How will this be when the diagnosis is so bad? How will this be when my child is so far from you? How will this be when the future feels overwhelming? Mary, she gives us permission to ask that question. It's okay to ask that question. How will this be? The Christmas story reminds that God is not limited by our circumstances, our weaknesses, or impossibility. I want to read you a little story that was in my devotional reading yesterday. I'll cut some of it down. But it's such an amazing story. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, how will this be? Let me just blow you away with this story that was in our devotional reading yesterday. It's about a college professor. And once he took a group of students to China for a field trip. Several days into the journey, he got this unimaginable pain in his stomach. And it turned out that his appendix had burst. And he was out in China. There was no proper health facilities. It looked really bleak for him. Back home in America, during a church service, the professor's father, a pastor, began to feel this extraordinary burden for his son. He stopped the service and he said to the congregation, "We must pray for my son. Something is wrong." In China, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. when suddenly one of the most famous surgeons walked into the clinic, the very surgeon who travels with the US president when he visits China. The staff, they were amazed to see him. And he said, "I am here to take care of the American," the surgeon said. And he operated and he saved the professor's life. The next day, the surgeon said to the professor, "Who were those two men you sent into my office yesterday?" The professor looked at him and he replied, "I didn't send anybody to you. I don't know anybody here in China." The surgeon said, "That's odd, because they said you were a very important person and that I needed to be here and operate on you." God's word says he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Such an amazing story that God sent the answer to that man's need. The indescribable gift, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What you cannot do, God will do. With him, all things are possible. Not one prayer, not one situation, not one thing you face this morning that he can't do. And then we have Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be according to your word." Let it be according to your word. Where in your life this morning have you stopped believing that God can work? What situation have you labeled impossible? What step of faith is God inviting you to this morning? Let it be according to your word. Maybe some of us here today, that needs to be our prayer. Echo the words of Mary. "Lord, I don't see how, but let it be. Lord, I don't understand, but let it be. Lord, this looks impossible, but let it be." You know, the same God who brought Jesus into the world is still working in each one of our lives today. He still comes to unexpected people, ordinary people, and does amazing, extraordinary things. He still speaks promises over your life and my life this morning. We used to sing a hymn in my home church in Market Hill in Northern Ireland, "Standing on the Promises of God, My Saviour." And maybe that's what we need to do this morning, is stand on his promises. And he still works by his Spirit. He brings hope where there seems to be no hope. This morning, for you, for me, maybe our prayer would be, "Let it be according to your word, Lord." The indescribable gift came to an ordinary woman. And Mary's answer, "Let it be according to your word," it reminded me, and I'm going to finish with this, it reminded me of years later when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. Do you remember that story? And he spoke to the woman at the well. And then she went and told her village, "Come and see. Come and see. A man who told me everything. Come and see." And that's the invitation of Christmas to you and I. "Lord, I don't see how, but let it be. Lord, I don't understand, but let it be. Lord, this looks impossible, but let it be." And this morning we're going to sing. We're going to stand now and we're going to sing an amazing, I'm imagining it's a new carol. It's a modern day carol. I'm looking at Adam. He's nodding at me. And in the words in this carol, it says, "Come and see what God has done." So wherever you find yourself this morning, as we sing this carol together, come and see what God has done. He's still the God, the indescribable gift. He's the God who uses the ordinary person, who his promises are still available to us today and spoken over us today, and his power is at work in our life.